Evening. Welcome each one out here this evening. This evening, I guess, or today is what we or many people celebrate is Valentine's Day. Sort of a day geared, I guess, towards love or towards couples. And along with that, I actually asked Brother Merle to bring us a lesson here this evening, and along the lines for couples, and maybe along the lines of loving or cherishing your spouse. I'm not sure exactly what. I left it sort of up to him what how he wants to go with this here this evening. But I thought of Merle. He has had many years of experience, and I think has had him and his wife have had a good marriage, a good relationship, and I know he has spoke highly of his wife and has blessed his or praised his wife for being a good wife and spouse. And even though she obviously is not here with him tonight, I asked him to bring us a lesson here this evening, something along these lines. So I appreciate his being willing to do that. For some verses here, a couple of different verses, we're going to read Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then jumping ahead to verses 27 to 31. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And also, if you could turn over to Ephesians 5, verse 33. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we're looking forward to what Brother Mill has to share with us this evening. I'm not going to take time to have prayer right now, since we did have a prayer, but if anyone have any prayer requests that we can maybe remember at the end of the lesson here this evening. Anything in particular you want to share?
Good evening. We welcome each one here this evening. We trust that God's name will be glorified. I love to speak about the Christian home and Christian parents. I think that's the backbone of our church, the backbone of our country. And I always was impressed to learn more about husbands and wives' love for each other and their commitment and their reach out with their families to others. So we asked you to pray that we may share a few things that will be encouraging to all of us. 'Twas God who led us through our courtship days. 'Twas He who planned our lives as they should be. He chose to join together both our ways, that we both might happier be. We pray that we will dearer love each other, and through the coming years we journey fast. We ask God's blessing on our homes together, through which we know that happiness will last. Most of us remember some words of reconciliation. Will you live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? We love, comfort, honor, keep for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, love and cherish till death do us part. Sorry. In the presence of God and these witnesses, I take you, promising with divine assurance to be united, to be unto you, loving and faithful, as long as we both shall live. You know, these words trend to fade from our memory, but our covenant with God still stands. It will not change. One flesh relationship is not established by a sex relationship, by the government, or by those officiating at the ceremony. The one flesh relationship is a supernatural act of God. He calls us two individuals to become one. When a man and woman come together and each for the first time vow themselves to each other, that's a commitment until death do us part. 3 years ago, Patsy and I had experienced 61 years of marriage together. I remember the day of our wedding, how I was so joyful that I had a wife, and I thought I loved them more than I ever could. But as time went on, love grew stronger. And I want to encourage couples that get married. Lots of times, for 2 years, things have blossomed pretty good, but then sometimes it becomes old hat to some, and their marriages go downhill, when it should be growing stronger. Mr. Marcus David had these lines printed in an Indiana newspaper. I will be responsible for all the obligations of my wife, Vivian Davis. During 20 years of marriage, she has given me great happiness, comfort, counsel, and 2 fine children. As we begin our 21st year, I am proud to assume her and all her wishes. And that's completely different than what we, a lot of say we day in our newspapers. I have seen many blessings from the hand of the Lord in my life. But the two outstanding blessings have been salvation through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, and Patsy, my wife. The Lord has led our lives together. He has given me a spiritual, loving, caring, committed wife. I'd like for us to answer a question this evening. Are you pleased with your marriage? Is the Lord pleased with your marriage? That's the important part. There are no perfect marriages. Patsy knew my faults, and she still loved me. And I'm thankful for that. Do we really know the real meaning of true love? We want to look first of all at today's version of love, God's version of love, and God's version of love lived. What is love? A deep and tender feeling of affection toward another person. A strong interest in someone. Sexual compassion. Many people today think that A love affair is a passionate relationship between a man and a woman that are not, who are not married, at least not to each other. The world and the devil has tried to convince people of the notion that adulterous love is more exciting than love in marriage. And so many today have fallen into that trap. Others say the love is not really important. In place of romance and love, couples are advised to treat each other with courtesy and try to make the marriage workable, at least stick it out until the children are grown. It's a sign of the last days. Same-sex marriage. Without natural affection, marrying and giving in marriage. Trend today is to do things with the crowd. Women do their thing. Men do their things. Be independent, they say. Be careful. Don't become too attached to each other. One writer has said, the theory that you can spend much time away from another without hurting the marriage relationship is Satan's lie, and I agree with that. Our main purpose as husbands and wives needs to come from the love from the Lord and then from each other, rather than another individual or group of people. The second area is God's version of love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians 3, 9, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Deuteronomy 24, 5, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. To cheer up means to delight his wife, to know her, and to discover what really pleases your companion. In Titus 2, 4, older women are to teach young women to love their husbands. The best way to teach is to be an example as parents. True love can come at any age, at any stage of your marriage, if we seek it in God's way. And remember, loved ones, please do not let another person get your attention. This is happening in our country everywhere. Someone else is getting our attention. Man was instructed to leave all else, cleave to his wife, and know her intimately over a lifetime, a process designed to establish the powerful love between us. God's way is, first of all, both need to be born again. And I would encourage anyone who is considering marriage, if they're not a Christian, get out of that relationship quickly. Love is costly. It requires more from the lover and much from the lover. Agape love means action, showing. It means being involved, unconditionally love the unlovable. And we, all of us, are unlovely at times. We need to admit that. In every marriage, sooner or later, a need arises that can be met only by unconditional love. Agape love is the answer of all our wounds in marriage. We need to fill that love bank. We need to seek what pleases our companion and lifts her up or him and encourage them. God's version of love lived. Probably about 20 or 25 years ago, one of our younger brother asked me to teach Sunday school and to explain how we should love our wife as a man. So I thought the wisest thing to do would be to ask my wife, and I asked her, let me know if some ways you know I really love you. So there's no hurry, but let me know. Went about 2 weeks, didn't hear nothing. I kind of wondered if she couldn't find anything. But then she came up with this paper, and I kept it all these years. She mentioned 15 things that she knew I loved her because of the way I reacted. I'd just like to share a couple. Maybe very simple things, but they meant a lot to me. The first one she had was hearing you pray for me in special areas of my struggle. Times when we go shopping and you patiently walk along and you give me your opinion if you like something or not, and wait and be contented by reading a book without making me feel that I'm wasting your time. Giving me a small portion of money and each week to spend as I desire without questions, beside the fact that all our money is ours and I do have access to the checkbook. By giving me little surprises and taking me out to eat, a little date, even if it's McDonald's, that's fine with me. And then one other I wanted to share. You show me your love for me by keeping yourself well-groomed and smelling good, just for me, even when we aren't going away. That was a precious paper to me. There were many small things that I never realized it meant so much to her. And because of that, it drew me closer to her and wanted to please her more. He asked her companion, "Do you really know that I deeply love you? How?" If we really want to know, we need to ask that question. We need a relationship with the Lord together. There's some questions that I have asked couples that I did some counseling with, and some of the sisters have said, "I wish my husband would be more concerned about serving the Lord. I want a bond that no one else can touch." I think it's so important that we seek to know each other in a more intimate way. Millions of men and women have no difficulty in falling in love, passionate love, but many never are unable to stay in love. We need to ask each other, "What do you expect of me in expressing my love to you?" Write them down, keep a record of them, and refer to them many times. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore let a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." Cleave means hold on fast, cement together, stick like glue, or be welded together, that the two cannot be separated without damaging both. Take each action, attitude, word, or decision against the Bible standard of cleaving. Ask myself, will this action draw me closer to each other or drive us apart? Will it build a relationship or tear it down? Will it bring about a positive or negative response? Does it express my love and my loyalty to my partner, or does it reveal my self-centeredness? She needs to know and hear she is my gift from the Lord as long as we live. I like to challenge we as men in our private devotions in the morning to research each morning. How is my relationship with my wife, with the children, as a grandfather, as a father? Show me, reveal me, guide me. Men, are we the priests in our home? Our homes are filled with much talk, but how much is it based on spiritual things? because as a priest, it's our responsibility to have our wife become more godly. And if she's not a godly woman, many times it goes back to our failure and not leading as a priest in our homes and our children. Prayer produces intimacy. We become intimate with the one to whom we pray, the one to whom we pray, and the one with whom we pray. As husbands, it's important that we have spiritual protection over our family. And if we're not godly men, Satan can attack our wife and our children. We need men who are leaders. Have a family altar. If we don't have a family altar in our home, don't call your home a Christian home. I say that strongly. It's so important. Communication is so needful in marriage. A time to listen. A time to talk things over. Sisters, are you really a faithful help me to your husband? Do you pray for him? Do you encourage him? Do you obey his leadership and his concern? I like to reach out in one other area of commitment. In Genesis 3, we have an account of the sweet relationship between God and his creation was marred by the attack of Satan. And that attack is upon every home today. Extreme attacks have been made openly to such movements as abortion, homosexuality, and lesbianism. But more cunning ways is in our congregation as well as in our neighborhoods and churches, impatience with our companions, lack of deep respect for each other, lack of deep love, taking each other for granted, expecting a perfect commitment when we are not perfect. Where and where we need to go, loved ones, we need to be alert. And just as the devil calls the disunity in Adam and Eve's home, he's trying to do that in every home that's even here tonight. God's answer to the problem. There is one verse that I felt to focus on today. And that's verse 33 of Ephesians 5. Nevertheless, let one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Marriage is intended to bring joy. The wedded life is nearest to be the happiest, fullest, purest, richest life. It is God's own ideal of completeness. He said if we're not good, it was not good for a man to be alone, that the woman was made, brought to him to supply what was lacking in Genesis 22. We need to remember these three words, love, a deep and tender feeling of affection for or attachment, a devotion to a person, reverence, a feeling of attitude of deep respect, love and all as a something sacred. Respect, to feel and show honor or esteem and hold in high regard. Husbands, is this our love experience with our wife? Wife, is this your reverence of respect experience with your husband? Or are we allowing this enemy of our souls to attack the first family to destroy our homes? Have you ever counted how many ifs there are in the traditional wedding vows? I promise today to love you if you continue to be consistently trust me in a way that makes me feel good about myself. I promise to love you if you keep yourself attractive, even after having children. These are not in our vows. They're completely away from our vows. Problems that exist in our marriage, it gives us a feeling of a lack of love and respect. There are three things that cause this problem. The devil desires to destroy the home. Let's remember that. He wants to attack your home and my home. Our old nature does not want to die. I want my way. That's what happens in many marriages. In the unseen world that sets up its own standards. In many homes today, women control by showing disrespect for men who are not expressing love to them, and many men have become timid and withdrawn. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I personally feel that when a man is a godly leader and wants to lead his family in the right way, and his wife bucks his stand on the scriptures, and they wonder why our children are lost, we need to realize that that responsibility is going back to the father, and that mother needs to be under his authority so the children will be under the priest of the home. We as men do not display love for a wife, they will react without respect. And if we do not receive respect, many times we react without love. This becomes a vicious cycle in many homes. The closer each one of us comes to Christ, the closer each one comes to each other. Never forget that. Our relationship with Christ is the key. Person has said, a wife without respect for her husband is like a stove without heat, a lamp without light, and a body without life. And I believe that is so true. In one national study, 400 men were given a choice between going through a different negative experience. Which would they choose? To be left alone and unloved in the world? To feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. 74% said they prefer to be alone and loved in the world. They're not saying they didn't need love, but feeling respect was the most important. All of us can live longer without food and without water. For men, love is like food, and respect is like water. Sisters, are you respecting your husband as you should? I had a godly wife who expressed her feelings. We talked things over. And if we disagreed and she felt that I was trying to live according to the scripture, she never rejected my decisions. Respect is the key to motivating a husband. A wife's softening tone and facial expressions can do more for a marriage than anyone can imagine. We as men get too busy with our self-interest, maybe a job, maybe sports, maybe hunting, whatever our wives would feel the lack of deep love and caring. And when sisters seek outside occupations, have their own checkbooks, and do not take serious the husband's role as a spiritual head, these husbands are feeling disrespect, and your marriage is head for the ropes. Some ways to deepen love and respect between as husband and wife. As a husband, we must love the wife as I love myself, and my wife must respect me as her husband. Could it be any clearer? Paul isn't making a suggestion. He is giving a command from God. The word used here is agape, meaning unconditional love, and the rest of this of the passage strongly suggests that the husband receive unconditional respect. Men, what can I do to help my wife know how deep my love is for her? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself, he died for us. He sacrifices for the church. I need to put my likes, desires, opinions, preferences and welfare aside to please her and to meet her needs, then we are truly dying to self to live for my wife. Nourish and cherish means to esteem, to hold as high value. Your wife needs to feel herself as if she is the most loved woman on earth. Does your wife feel that? When this happens, she will want to respect you in a similar way the church reverenced Christ. Some other ways I need to show my love. Speak well of her in the presence of others. Help her make decisions. Hold her hand. Set spiritual times just to be with her, other than sexual times. Each need and want to have her feel loved, I am praying for you today. Keep commitments to her. Keep yourself and your eyes and your desires for her. Sisters, what can you do to help your husband feel respected? Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. A wife who responds willingly and lovingly, honoring God, her husband, her church, and herself, she also becomes a beautiful testimony of the Lord. Remember 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Women can win their husbands without a word through their chaste and respectful behavior. When your husband married you, he felt that you believed in him, and he appreciated that far more than we ever realized. It touched his spirit. He married you, and he thought that your cheerleading would last forever. But through family, life of responsibilities and work are showing a respect that has become less and less. There are things we need to do to rekindle that we would respond more lovingly. Tell him with spoken or written word that you respect him as your spiritual leader. Ask him to tell you some that would help him to feel respected. Give him praise for wise decisions. Give reasons for disagreeing quietly and reasonably, but never attack his right to lead. Every marriage needs improvements. We never have disagreements. That person lies about other things, because every marriage has some rough spots. As a husband, I need to ask two questions. Is my wife coming across to me disrespectfully because she is feeling unloved? What will I say or do next comes across as loving or unloving to my wife? Who will be the first to start to correct the problems? The one who is the most mature will take those steps. In your marriage, be the first to seek peace and pursue it. Take time to seek the face of the Lord. Melt our hearts forever. I'd like to share some thoughts I received in a book by Dr. Ed Wheat. He suggests a course of action for we as couples. And he uses the word best, B-E-S-T, best, blessing. Speak well of each other. Respond with kindness, even when not deserved. Proverbs 31, you have a power to bless your marriage by the word you speak to your partner. You can also bless by learning to be silent. Pray the richer man's fellowship with the Lord, the sweeter will be with you. How much time praying for your partner alone and with him or her? I think the devil tries to get us away from those precious times. Number two, E, building up, cheering in every area of life. Never compare your marriage to any other. Increase his or her self-worth. What do you really think of him or her? How much do you value her or him? She knows and he knows, and it'll show forth in the way you respond to each other. Nourish and cherish, build up, never tear down. It begins in her thought life. Dwell on her good qualities. Wives, edify by your response to your husband. Do you show respect to him when he speaks? To respond to each other physically. The face is the most expressive part of a person. Your mate wants to see your smile, your eyes sparkling in response to him or her. When you come in the room, they look for that. Number three, sharing. Time, activities, interests, concerns, thoughts, spiritual walk, family goals, giving yourself. You know, even as ministers and as church workers, we can get involved in so many activities that night after night, day after day, we're neglecting our wife and our families. And I think it's very important to set apart a time for them. When I was elder, there was a lot of concerns, and some weeks I was away every night. And I realized my wife was suffering because of this. So I made a commitment to her that every Thursday night was her night. The only time I would stop being with her on that night, on a special date, was for an anointing service. And she realized that she was important in serving the Lord with me. I remember one time I came home from work and I had some phone calls to make. I went in my study. My wife come in, she says, "You know why I speak so fast?" I said, "I didn't realize you did." She said, "If I don't, you're in the next room." That was a wake-up call for me. I learned to be more quiet and listen to her. We love to do things together. We clean the house together. We mow the yard together. We spend lots of time together. The fourth is touching, sex. Our minds go to sex. Why? Sex is a god to the world, and touching is ignored apart from sex. For men, there's three kinds of touching in today's world: handshake, contact sports, and sex. Men, touching our wife aside from sexual desire is very important to her. If you don't believe me, ask her. She'll explain that to you. A young woman expressed her need for tangible expression of caring in this poem to her home. "Please come take my hand, let's walk. Do you? How often? Give me your eyes, say hi, glance to saying I care. Hand holds to let me know that you really care. Keep saying thank you for being you. Kisses that gently want me, then love that says I'll be here tomorrow and every day afterwards." Touching emotionally. Personal pressure. Just talk. Get alone. Problems of a wife when we seem to us, but we need to be still and listen. Men like to have quick fixes. We'll tell you how to do this quickly, but many times they just want us to listen and share their concerns. Let each know that each is a special in my sight. Your wife should feel loved at times when she is not perfect. If you want a queen for a wife, privately and publicly, treat her like one. Do you desire a spiritual leader? Respect him. Is your marriage exciting and God-honoring? The word the Lord wants it to be. There's two questions we need to ask ourselves. Ask our companion, "Do you know that I really love you? How? What can I do to make you happy?" Life is too short not to truly enjoy each other. Blessed is a marriage in which each one sees each other for the Lord. You know, after being married for 61 years, just long for the time if I just have one more moment to squeeze my wife and tell her again how much she meant to me. I would love to do that. But I'm thankful that she's in the loving hands of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And He'll care for her. He'll protect her and keep her until we meet again. I trust that maybe just a few things were said tonight that may challenge us in our marriage, that God's name would be glorified. Witness of our families would touch other lives. I think sometimes there's some things can be helpful, and I have a paper. It has 9 different areas. One of them is to make a decision to never again be critical of your partner in thought, word, or deed. This should be a decision backed by action until it becomes a habit that you would never change if you could. Husbands, publicly and privately, show your wife how special she is to you. Keep your attention focused on your wife. Encouraging, I hope it is. After they're married for a year, I like to meet with them again. For the husbands, just in the example, do I sense when there's something in my wife's heart and encourage her to express it? Do I remember important days and special occasions? Do I seek my wife like I did when we were dating? And there's 3 responses, yes, no, or in the middle. And I'm sure if we're sincere, all of us can improve. And I suggest you pick one of those up. Answer questions. It's 15 of them. I'm not sure if it's 15. 18. And if you're in the middle, or especially if you're in the middle, work on those areas to improve. On the wife's side, here is humility. Am I quick to admit when I'm wrong? Am I content to not have the last word? Or no, we could go. I trust that in some way, several ways today, by being impatient with each other. Life is too short for that. I read of a